My name is Carrie Dan. I'm a Western Shoshone, and these hills you hear is where my grandparents and the grandparents before them had, you know, walked around. And this little hill that's sitting over here, they call that Sanakui, which means pitch mountain. That's where they used to get their pitch for whatever they needed pitch for. I guess the pitch there is better than the pitch at other places. Down back here somewhere, I've never been there myself, but I understand there's a clay pit where they used to get clay for their pottery. I don't know if anybody knows that area today. My grandmother talks about this area a lot when she was alive. Some of my aunts were born around through here, and my mother was born back on that side. And this is their winter grounds. This is where they used to come and spend the winter. It's in the pines. In the summertime, they moved down into Crescent Valley and that area. And there's stories about them down there, too, that I remember. I was just telling Barbara up in here on one of these cliffs, I guess her mom kind of fell down a little bit and kind of brained herself. That's where Barbara said she got all of her brains. The struggle has been for Western Shoshone land rights. It's always been Western Shoshone land rights. What is land? What does land mean? To a traditional indigenous person, land means life. Basically, that's what it means. Life cannot exist without land. All the things that you have, whether they're your eyeglasses, your shirt, your pants, your shoes, your hat, including your body, they all come from this earth. Today, they call those things resources. Whatever it is, and they change that into the term resources. And then resources, what does that also spell out? Spells money, M-O-N-E-Y. And basically, all the resources that you see around here actually belong to the Western Shoshone people. Or, I don't know, the word belong is not a right term. I don't believe it's a right term, but that is what we use, the words we use today. Resources in the indigenous style, traditional indigenous style, is not to be actually, go out there and, literally taken. You just take what you need. If you don't need much, you don't take much. If you need much, then you take much. But today, that's a different story. Today, those resources are taken in the name of economy, name of money. And what they exploit this earth in the name of money. Who does that? Multinational corporations. They don't care. They're not going to be here tomorrow. Who's going to be here tomorrow? The children are the children that's running around. That's going to be here. Who's going to be here tomorrow? And what do these companies care about the children of these children? They don't care. Because they'll be gone. Soon as they take the resources out, they will be gone. And many people will also be gone. The workers, many of them will be gone. I can't say all of them, because some of them may find it very interesting and very nice to live out here. They might make their residence here. But then we also look at another thing, which is very important too, and that is water. What do we see today? Exploitation of water by these multinational corporations that's out here mining. Mining for that microscopic gold. And that gold is under the water table. Down here in Crescent Valley, water table was above 50 feet. It used to be. I don't know what it is today. I understand that pit you see that coming up by the high, by the road there, understand it's almost 1,000 feet down. So they have to at least bring the water table around there at least 1,000 feet. I remember when the gold companies were first talking to the people along with the Bureau of Land Management. They were talking about injecting the water back into the ground. And I guess when, you know, that didn't pan out, so they don't inject the water back into the ground. They take that water and put it in pools where they say, you know, it's going to drift back where it comes from. But that will never happen. Because between the top layers of ground, different layers in the ground, it will never get back there. I don't think you have to be a scientist to understand that once you start losing your water table, it's going to affect the waters in the mountains. It's going to affect the waters all the way around. I don't know. They projected 5 miles. But I don't believe that. I think, you know, they will draw the water down better than 5 miles. Probably 100 miles, maybe better. I don't know. I have no idea. But they told us all of these things. And that's what they were going to do. But then they didn't do that, see? They don't inject the water back into the ground at the same level where it came from. Because it's not cost effective for them, I suppose. But that's all, you know, that's all they think about is how much money they're going to make. So, you know, when you look at all of these things, to us, that's destroying life. Life for whom? Maybe not us that's sitting here today, but certainly we look at the little kids that's sitting around. Maybe they're babies. Maybe they're grandbabies. How do we know? Do we as people have a right to take away that life from the children's children? I don't think so. I think what we have to do is we have to take care of this land the way it was meant to be. That water that's being pumped out is irreplaceable. It's life. They're pumping out life. And when you pump out life by multinational corporations, you're destroying the earth. Why do we call the earth our mother? As I said, everything we own, everything we have, everything we eat, it comes from here. Okay, how about water? You could not exist without water. Today, a lot of people go to Safeways, Raley's, Albertsons, any store. What do they buy? Water. Water is supposed to be a gift of life. It's a gift. Your body, or bodies of anything else, like the birds and the animals, they couldn't exist without water. So literally, in my point of view, I'm not a scientist, but I certainly look at water as a gift of life. And when you take that water, you're taking water from the future generations and you're putting it in ponds where it'll never go back. And you look at all the destruction that is going on. I look at it as destruction of the future life, destruction of the future generations that's yet to come. I look at down at the test site. What happens down there when they set off those nuclear bombs? Nobody knows. Is there water down there? Is that water not contaminated with radiation? I hear up in Hanford a couple years ago, they said they had radiated ants running around. We don't know what's happening down there. We also know that down in Las Vegas and that area, they want all the water they can get. How do you know that some of this water is not contaminated with radiation? They don't know that. also here, maybe Corbin and his Shinhai group can probably answer this, is the fact that the low-level nuclear waste that they have down there below Beatty, I understand there's a leak in it. I don't know, but those are the rumors I hear. So what's happening with this leak in it? Is it getting into the underground water system? Or what's it doing? You know, Americans are not going to get up and yell until it happens. If it don't happen, they'll be pretty happy. But if it does happen to hit somebody's water, there will be a lot of people that is concerned.